Good morning, church. The big question, why do we struggle with faith in God? Why is it so much harder? You know, I watched this video and I started asking myself the question about faith and the faith that we have in products and things, you know? And I asked myself, why do I have faith in my alarm clock? Why do I trust my alarm clock? Well, I set it, and this magical thing happened. It went off when I set it to go off. And so I could trust in my alarm clock. And then I started thinking along the lines, well, why do I trust my coffee pot? I have a cool coffee pot. You know, it's still older, but I push a little button in the morning that says, hey, make my coffee at 3:45, and bam. 3:45 in the morning, all of a sudden, coffee's percolating. And believe me, when you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you want that coffee ready. So we look at these things and we develop faith in them because they have been trustworthy. They have been things that we can count on. But they don't always work, do they? Poor Eric found out just this week. The car doesn't always start when we turn the engine over. You know, when I switch days off at my work with TSA, I set my phone alarm so that it only goes off on the days I have to work. So on the days that I don't have to work, I would be able to sleep in. Well, I had Tuesday and Wednesday off, and I switched to Wednesday and Thursday off. And so what ended up happening is I was supposed to be at work, and my alarm didn't go off. And so thankfully, I woke up with like 15 minutes before I was supposed to be at work, and I scrambled up, started getting dressed, called, said, hey, I'm running late, I will be there as soon as possible. But when things don't work, we start having trouble having faith in those things, don't we? We start to get to the point where we go, I don't know, my coffee pot started leaking water all over the counter. I don't know if I want to make coffee in that again. And sometimes that's what we do with God. When our life is going well, we look and we trust, right? Because we go, hey, you know what? God has given me a nice home, a beautiful car, my family's doing well, everything's going okay, so I can trust in God because God's providing me with all of these things. And then we start looking and life becomes a little more difficult, doesn't it? People get sick. People die. We lose our jobs. We get a pay cut. And all of a sudden, we start looking around and thinking to ourselves, maybe God's not working. Maybe he's the problem. Maybe he's the thing that I need to replace in my life. And brothers and sisters, things do get hard. And in this circumstance, when life gets hard, we're not alone. There was a woman that Jesus met that had probably about as hard of a circumstance as I can think of. In Mark chapter 5, verse 24b through verse 34, it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt her body that she had been freed from the suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people around you, crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, and then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So in order to get this story right, we need to go from the beginning. Everything was going wrong in her life, wasn't it? Everything. She had had a bleed for 12 years. 12 years. Some of you who have chronic illness can relate to that. where you wake up every day and you're hurting and you're sore and you just feel like it's never going to get better. Everything is always down. Now, bleeding comes about with its own very, very special problem. You see, we need our blood to provide oxygen to our muscles, to provide the oxygen that our organs need to pump, to produce, to work, to do things. And so when we don't get that, we become fatigued. We have no energy. We're drained. This woman's whole life was tired and fatigued. Can we relate to that? That feeling of being tired and exhausted? But it didn't stop there for her. It wasn't just that she was tired. What was happening to her was making her an outcast from her people. In Leviticus 15, verses 25 through 27, it says, When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. And any bed she lies in while she has the discharge will be unclean, as is her bed during her monthly period. And anything she sits on will be unclean, and during her period. Anyone who touches them will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean until evening. Now, that doesn't sound so bad because, well, they're only unclean for a day, right? So they come spend the day with her, and then they're unclean for the day. And so, you know, those kinds of things happen. But it wasn't just that people could only come for a day. Every festival in the Bible, you had to be clean to participate in. You had to be clean to go to the temple to participate. Which meant every festival, this woman could not go. Every festival, the day before everybody else went to celebrate, they had to stay away from her. They couldn't be with her. They couldn't touch her. They couldn't participate in her life. Just picture Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of your family abandoning you the day before so that they could be able to go and have the meal, to participate with their family. That's what she was living with. Every year, for 12 years, alone, tired, exhausted, worn out. And she had nothing. She spent every penny that she had on doctors. Every single penny. She was broke. She was empty. She had absolutely nothing. And it's not that she wasn't trying. It doesn't say she went to the doctor and the doctor said, "No, not much I can do for you," does it? It says she went to many doctors. She kept going. She kept trying. She kept seeing if there was something new that she could do. Well, the reality is when we look at this struggle, we as human beings have a tendency to do the same thing, don't we? We have a tendency to try to find healing from our pains and our struggles and different things. I can't tell you how many times at work when we're getting busy and things are coming down, and the first thing you hear is not, "I need some time with Jesus." The thing you hear is, "I need a beer. Man, I cannot wait to get out of here. I just want to go sit in my lounging chair, and I'm just going to toss a six-pack back." Or people saying, "Man, I'm going to the club tonight so I can forget about all this. I just want to go dance. I want to party. I want to get away from all of this stuff." And we as human beings have that natural tendency. We want to get rid of our struggles and our pains, and we turn to all these different places, just like she trusted in the doctors. And you know what? The same thing happens to us because those things are empty. I remember walking away from church after I joined the Navy and thinking to myself I was going to try something different. I was going to see what the world had to offer. And I just remember waking up in the morning after going and partying and just feeling sick, feeling empty, feeling like my whole life was nothing. And the reality of sin is that that's what it does. It takes us down this spiral. You know, we feel this joy, this excitement for this period of time, and then everything bottoms out. And we feel completely empty. And you may be there in your life. You may have been looking for friends and family to make you feel better. You may have been looking for relationships to make you feel better. You may have been trusting in different things other than Jesus to heal the wounds and the struggles in your life. And the harder we try, the sicker we get, the worse we feel. But then something special happened for this woman. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Now, I don't know what she heard. The Bible doesn't tell us. But you know what? I know what she could have heard. I know she could have heard that this man was a healer. She could have heard that he made the deaf hear, the blind see, and the mute speak. She could have heard that he was preaching a new kingdom, something better, something more. She could have heard that this man had awed the teachers, that he spoke with authority, that there was something special about this man. And if you are in a place in your life where you're looking and you're thinking to yourself, I feel empty, you need to hear about Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer to all the questions that we have in our life. Now, there may be some of you out there, there may be someone out there who's looking and going, yeah, you know, I've heard that before. Jonathan, you don't understand. I've been down that road. I went to church. I gave my tithe like a good Christian. I prayed and asked God to fix all my problems. I went to church faithfully. I did everything I was supposed to do, and God left me empty. He left me broken, and I didn't feel any better after going to church than I did in everything else that I've tried in my life. And the thing that I have to say to you is that if that's the case, you didn't really hear about Jesus. Because if someone told you that Jesus was going to get you a nice house, they lied to you. If someone told you Jesus was going to get you a fancy car, they lied to you. If someone told you that Jesus was going to get you the perfect job and make your life simple and easy, they lied to you. Those who were closest to Jesus suffered the most. All of his apostles were tortured in his name. All of his apostles, except for John, were martyred for their faith. You see, what Jesus has to offer you is not blessings here on earth in the sense of getting all your worldly possessions, getting everything that you want here on earth. What he's promised you is an eternity. He's promised you an opportunity in heaven to walk with him, where there will truly be peace, where there truly will be no sorrow, where we will no longer suffer. He has promised us that we will walk with him in heaven. And he's promised us that he can change our hearts so that rather than thinking, I haven't made it till I have that big house, that I can learn to be content in the little house, that I can learn to appreciate all the little blessings that he gives me. The fact that I can wake up in the morning, that I do have my breath, that I do have an opportunity to share with other people the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't promise to give you the world. He promised to change your world. He promised to fulfill your life and give you peace in times of struggle. We need to hear about Jesus. He came to this earth. He died for you on the cross. He was willing to bear your sins, suffered, bled, and died. And he rose again from the grave. No man on earth has done that. No man on earth has raised himself from the grave, but our Savior has. And he's offering you hope. Better things. Well, you see, when this woman heard about Jesus, something clicked in her life. She said, I got to have it. I have got to have it. I can't wait. I can't pause. I can't stop. I've got to go. And she did. Now, we may not think about it, but what she did was really, really gutsy, okay? Because she was unclean, everyone that she touched in that crowd, she made unclean. Because she was unclean, touching Jesus, she made him unclean. You've got to remember her physical state. This woman was very, very likely fatigued. She probably had trouble getting up, had trouble walking. And yet she was willing to force her way through that crowd to see Jesus. Because she thought to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made well. If I can just touch the hem. And she did. She truly believed, and she was healed. Well, what about you and me? I'm not going to lie to you, as a believer, I still struggle. There's still times that I have to be reminded that God didn't promise me a pot of gold here on earth. There's still times I have to remember when I watch those I love get sick and die, that God is still good. There's times I have to be reminded that he didn't promise me that being a minister was going to be easy and that I'd always be happy and that I'd never have conflict and that things wouldn't go wrong. He promised me that he'd be with me and that he'd support me and give me the strength to do what needs to be done. And so if you are a brother and sister that is struggling, that is having trouble with putting your faith in Jesus, don't give up on him. He's not the broken coffee pot. If it's broken, it's because you haven't quite yet learned in your heart what God is trying to do and the ways that he is trying to change you. If we trust in him, we know that we will receive a crown of life. And that's what our hope has to be in. That no matter how bad it is here, like Art's been telling us, it's temporary. That quick. Just a flash. If you are here and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's time to run towards him. It's time to take this step and to walk into your faith. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You see, Jesus isn't just an option amongst other healers. Jesus is the healer. He's the only one that can bring us into relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save our souls. And as he was sending out his apostles, in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15 that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Why be baptized? Because he said it is our. In Romans chapter 6, we are told it is our death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul tells us that if we die in his likeness, we shall also rise in his likeness. We have to step out in faith. And what Paul told the Galatians was this, in Galatians 3, 26 through 28, so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized in Christ and have been clothed in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In him we are all healed. We are all stepping into our hope of eternity. By faith, this woman acted and she was healed. If you need to act today, we want to be available to you. I'd like to ask our leaders to please stand up. I want you to see them. Any of these men will be happy to talk with you today. You can talk to Scott or myself as well. If you need prayer, we're here for you. We want to talk with you. We want to get to know you. We want to know what your hurts are and to be available to you. And if you want to learn more about what it means to be a child of God, we're all here. We're all available to you. We want to offer that to you. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just are so blessed to be your children, to have the opportunity to be loved by you, to be known by you, to be clothed in your Son. Lord, there are many here today who are hurting. They're struggling in different ways, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's spiritual. Lord, there are many here who are hurting today. And we pray that your healing will be upon them. We pray that you will strengthen them and build them up and that you will allow us to be a vessel to do that. We just love you so much, Lord, and are so appreciative of everything that you do for us. We ask you to be with us and to bless us. In your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen.